Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody, welcome to this edition of Tunnel Vision. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham. I'm sitting alongside Chris Trevino, and we got Shotgun Spratling back on the East Coast. Join in. We got Nicole Sheeran here, too, in studio helping us with the production. So trying to get the show rolling again. Spring football just started, so we are back out here. I know we did a show a couple weeks ago. We're trying to add some stuff, some different camera angles and things, so bear with us as we try to expand the show going into these 2022 football season. Should be a lot of fun. We want to get Nicole more involved in the show, reading questions and things like that. So today we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. The first week of spring football, we got USC Pro Day, some recruiting news, big official visit weekend for Josh Connerly, the final piece potentially of the 2022 recruiting class, the five-star offensive tackle out of the state of Washington. He was on campus this weekend. Shotgun was in the bitter cold at an Under Armour event in Maryland. So he's going to talk about some of the USC targets he saw out there. We got the USC Pro Day. There's some basketball news and stuff we want to talk about. We will take your questions. We're not going to do live calls today. We will take questions on, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, we will try to put them in our Google Doc and read those off to you as well. We're also live on Twitter, but I don't think we'll be taking any questions from there. But thanks for everyone that's joining us live on Twitter. Thanks for everyone joining us live everywhere. Make sure you smash that like button wherever you're at. You know, share it. They say that on the Cover 3 podcast, like smash the like button. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That's what the kids say.
That's what the kids are saying.
Like smash and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button.
Yes. To subscribe too. We do appreciate all of that. Are we sounding okay? I know the last time we did this, there were some audio problems. It seems like
anything is better than last time.
It was better. Yeah, honestly. A different box. I was trying to hold the whole new system and everything going on. But should be have a fun show for you today. All three of us in studio. I mean, three of us in studio and then Shotgun remotely. I mean, obviously, it's terrible. We have to start on a somber note. Over the weekend, we found out that USC's inside wide receivers coach, Dave Nickel, passed away. According to several sources, it was he was battling cancer. And we got to hear from Lincoln Riley, USC head coach, on Saturday at a Zoom that you normally would talk about what happened at the Saturday practice. It just, the majority of it was focused on his friend and mentor, Dave Nickel. And I thought, I mean, get your guys' thoughts, but it was heartbreaking. Just listening to Lincoln Riley talk, you could tell how genuinely upset he was. And, you know, one of the first things he said was that he probably wouldn't be a college coach if it wasn't for Dave Nickel. I mean, started when they were at Texas Tech, and it just seemed like he's someone that was a big part of Lincoln Riley's life and the reason why he's the head coach. You know, one of the reasons why he's in coaching and, you know, the head coach at USC right now. And, you know, when he made the hire, didn't really know that connection was that strong, but obviously it was just tragic news around the Trojan family.
Yeah, I mean, obviously just a tough thing to come out, you know, that came out on Friday. And, you know, it kind of shows just how kind of maybe quick it happened, because just on Tuesday, Lincoln Riley was asked about, you know, Coach Nickel and sort of if there was hope that he could come back, you know, rejoin the team at some point. And Coach Riley said, yeah, there's absolutely hope, but, you know, he's going through a tough deal right now. So just be in your prayers, you know, for the Trojan family and stuff. So that kind of just shows how quickly, you know, things happened there at the end of the week. So just truly awful. And, you know, I didn't really expect Lincoln to talk at all about football in that sense, you know, from Saturday practice, which was the first padded practice, but it kind of just felt right that, you know, he would take that time to kind of talk about his friend, because in the end, you know, football is just a game.
Yeah.
You know, and this sort of shows just how, you know, not important it is compared to other stuff in life. So, you know, it was nice to hear him talk about, you know, his friend and his Coach Nichols' personality and how, you know, when he was sick and kind of going through this stuff, you know, Riley said he didn't want to talk about that. He just wanted to talk about football, like how are the guys going, how install is going, and, you know, kind of things like a good old football coach would do, and kind of talking about his personality and his humor. And if you look on Twitter, Shotgun's been retweeting, you know, all these colleagues and coaches that have been, you know, that knew Coach Nichols through wherever he was, kind of just share their reaction and kind of their thoughts on it. And kind of one thing is just how good of a person he was, and obviously how funny he was as well. So, you know, unfortunate we never got to, you know, really interact, but as a media with him. And but it sounds like he would have been, you know, one of our favorite interviews based off his humor and his sort of personality.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, that was one of the things that stood out to me. A guy that we haven't didn't get a chance to really get to know yet, like most of the coaches on the staff so far, but just the outpouring of everyone around the coaching community talking about the type of person that he was, and seeing some of his former players, you know, come out and talk about how, you know, how much of a father figure he was to them. Just devastating news for the coaching staff, because there's so many guys that had connections with him on this staff, you know, whether it be at Washington State with Alec Grinch and Manning, or, you know, at East Carolina with Lincoln Riley, or even all the way back to the Texas Tech days. And even Clay McGuire, the offensive line coach for USC last year, another guy that knew Dave Nichols really well. So, you know, just to see the messages, I think it was just heartbreaking for everyone. I mean, he's 45 years old, and, you know, it seemed like he was a guy that Lincoln was really excited to finally get to team up with or re-team up with, since he hadn't been with him since his East Carolina days. And, you know, Lincoln talked about on Saturday about how, you know, this was a, you know, a dream for Dave Nichols, too, to be at USC. You know, he had gone through and Lincoln listed off all the different trips and the different times he had to be a GA. You know, there was like three different times where he had been a coach and had to go back to being a GA, and he kept working, kept going. And, you know, he gets to USC, you know, coming from Mississippi State, you know, big opportunity at USC with Lincoln Riley's staff. And unfortunately, you know, he gets cancer and, you know, passes away from it. It's just devastating news. And, you know, I had texted with some players and stuff before. They didn't really have an idea. They knew he was sick. So it really hit some of them hard as well, just to find out, you know, a guy that, you know, you're finding, getting to meet and kind of finding out about, you know, his personality, and then suddenly he's gone like that. So it's just heartbreaking to see for someone to put in his time, working and grinding his way through some of the lower end positions in the coaching profession to get an opportunity at USC and not to be able to fully realize it.
Yeah. I think we have a picture, Nicole, of Luke Heward and Simmons, the wide receiver coaches now. So Luke Heward taking over was the interim. I assume he's, you know, did they say if he's going to be the permanent or just he's the
interim?
Yeah,
I mean, they haven't really talked about that.
They said that.
I mean, you can sort of imply that that's probably going to be the case, but yeah, they didn't make any kind of official statement about that. I mean, it just seemed too raw to still kind of make that decision. That's probably something that'll happen like after spring or something maybe, but yeah, I mean, Luke will be the interim moving forward through spring and probably throughout the season.
Yeah, and if the name sounds familiar, you know, Brock Heward, Damon Heward, that's, I believe they're all brothers, the quarterbacks, they were up there from the state of Washington. So he's taking over as the interim inside wide receivers coach. Okay, so we do want to talk about the first 2 days of spring football. As if you don't know, things have changed a little bit as far as access goes. As far as what we can see, we can go to – there's three practices a week. There's Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. We can go to the Tuesdays and Thursday practices. Saturday, we don't get to see, and we get Lincoln Riley over Zoom afterwards, and that's what we – you know, when he talked about – addressed the Dave Nichols situation – but Tuesday and Thursday, we were there. Offensive players and coaches available on Tuesday. Defensive players and coaches available on Thursday. And special teams players. And we got to talk to a lot of the newcomers over the 2 days. It was great. A lot of the transfers, you know, we got to interview. Nicole did as well. So she was out there talking to some of those guys. And maybe we can start with a little bit of news that we got at, I think it was Thursday's practice. So Alex Stathouse, the kicker, if you remember, he came in a few times when Parker Lewis couldn't play. There was a, he was suspended one game. There were some weird situations or whatever.
Got with the targeting.
Yeah, the targeting things, so he missed the half. And
Stathouse was just thrown into the fire multiple times this season and played well.
He did.
Performed well. Stepped up.
He had entered the transfer portal, and we found out on Thursday it was because, like, he was a walk-on. He couldn't afford school.
The financial hardship of, you know, being, you know, a walk-on and having to, you know, kind of pay your way at USC. So he kind of had to look at opportunities where he could earn a scholarship from, you know, school.
Yeah, and it ain't cheap to go to USC, as we know. But Parker Lewis goes in the transfer portal, and Lincoln Riley apparently reached out to Stathouse and offered him a scholarship. So USC now has two scholarship players on special teams. They had five before, and it was down to one, but now Alex Stathouse gets a scholarship. So it looks like USC has their kicker of the 2022 season, which is great for him.
You can confirm there's only two.
There's only two.
Not like three being hidden somewhere.
Yeah, I don't. Hopefully not. That's sort of the thing. Yeah, you don't want to. There was the days when USC had like 6-7 players on scholarship for special teams. You don't want to see that. But anyway, so
Mister is still hiding some somewhere. Don't lie about
yes,
it, Chris.
He does love. He loves putting like two. You need two snappers on scholarship at a time. That seems to make sense. But anyway, so congratulations to Alex Stathouse. That's great news. We also learned that Ty Buchanan, the offensive lineman from Texas, he had entered the transfer portal. So up one scholarship and then down. You kind of even it out. So any you guys, maybe Shotgun and then Chris, any thoughts on Ty Buchanan entering the portal?
I mean, I think it tells you that, you know, all those three stars from East Texas that the previous staff thought were just as good as any four star out here in L.A., maybe they weren't, you know, as valuable to this new staff. Obviously, it has not been because you've seen some of the other guys. You've seen Dorian Hewitt is no longer on the roster. Jake Smith, you know, a guy that they had brought in as a transfer from Texas, no longer on the roster. So I think it tells you that there is definitely a difference in opinion on this staff versus the previous staff and, you know, what they valued. And you've seen, you know, a number of those guys from that, you know, the recruiting classes where we said this is not very good. And the previous coaching staff tried to tell us that no, these are good guys. They're just underrated. You know, a lot of those guys are now gone. And, I think that tells you that this current staff is looking and has higher expectations for the quality of player that they're going to bring in than the quality of player that should be at USC. Nothing against Ty Buchanan or any of those other players, but I think that they saw that it was going to be a long road for them to get any playing time on this roster. And especially with the way that USC is recruiting right now, that there were going to be potential transfers or high value prospects coming in that might be recruited over them. So I think a little bit of the writing was on the wall, a little bit of a combination there. And I think that's why you've seen some of these guys that are first or second year guys in the program that have decided to hit the transfer portal.
Yeah.
It just sort of reinforces, I mentioned this on the podcast, kind of it reinforces what Lincoln has said on Tuesday is that double digit additions are coming, which means, you know, they need to make some space. So yeah. Buchanan will not be the last person to enter the portal in the last several months. And I can assume they're going to hit the offensive line pretty hard for the portal, just because if you look at it now, they're kind of thin there at that position, having lost Jalen McKenzie and Liam Jimmins, two starters. And then you have three guys, Buchanan being the third guy who's entered the portal from the offensive line, along with Liam Douglas and Casey Collier, another one of those three-star offensive tackle guys. So, yeah, offensive line looking a little thin right now in practice. So, you know, they're hoping, you know, they get a big 2022 guy coming here, and then they hit the portal hard for some more for more bodies in the next couple months.
Yeah, they're thin in a few spots on the offensive side of the ball. And maybe that's what we'll start with the Tuesday practice. So we do get to watch the stretching portion and then, like, position drills. But we got to see Caleb Williams, you know, that guy, you never heard of him. We talked about him for months or whatever it seemed like. He was out there wearing number 13, throwing around, was holding court in his media session. I mean, you can tell why that dude is a leader. I think we got a photo of him too, but he was great out there. I was really impressed with what Caleb Williams did. But maybe we can start and talk about some of the couple of the offensive storylines from what we saw and talked to people on Tuesday. I mean, Caleb Williams is probably the biggest one, right? With as far as, but huge media scrum around him. I just felt like he carried himself extremely well. You can see why all those leadership qualities, all those things you hear, you know, he's a great player, but also someone that, you know, can become a leader at Oklahoma after not even being named the starter coming out of the gate and taking over the job for Spencer Rattler. He can come into USC and really not know anyone except a couple of guys on the staff and a couple of transfers that came with him. He does have, he was familiar with Miller Moss because of the Elite 11 days. So they're on the same like text thread and stuff, but, and it just seems like people are gravitating towards him, and just the way he spoke at the media event, I think was a big part of it. But maybe start with you, Chris, and then Shotgun, any thoughts on Caleb?
Well, first off, for Shotgun and Ryan, does his charisma and media personality remind you of any other DMV native? I don't know. I was just watching the scrum, and I thought, you know, I see a lot of myself
there is
in this this young man with his charismatic personality.
And if you don't know,
not afraid to be on camera, you know,
like Chris Trevino. Chris Trevino, giggling over Chris, there. This man right here taught swimming lessons to Caleb Williams as a child, like as a kid. Like, how crazy is that? Even the Cole
he was
like,
a child, not me.
You were not. You were the child.
And no, he was the child.
He coached Caleb Williams. So we have someone on set that was coaching Caleb Williams here. So that's pretty good.
How about celebrity right now?
How about that? How about that?
When he was in high school as a, you know, as a student teacher. So that's my claim to fame.
Don't try to one-up me.
So as of now, I still have the upper hand in this one. But looking at Caleb Williams, you know, the thing we had heard about him and the thing that, you know, everyone had kind of talked about was the personality that everyone gravitates towards him. He has that type of personality. And the fact that, you know, you hear one of the players, I can't remember which one it was during the interview, say, yeah, he, you know, immediately stepped in and was like breaking down, you know, during the player run practices, the workouts and stuff, immediately stepped into the huddle and started breaking things down and did it on him, shows you that, you know, he has that alpha personality. He's going to step in immediately. And you guys could probably see it a lot more in person, but just hearing some of the other players talking about him, listening to the interviews, you can tell the personality, the charisma that he has, and the fact that he attracts a lot of people. And, you know, when Lincoln Riley talks about double digit transfers, Caleb Williams is a great reason they will be able to accomplish that, because everyone wants to play with that guy.
Yeah, 100%.
And the guy you're referring to, Austin Jones, the Stanford transfer, is the one who referred to, kind of told me that story about how,
gotcha,
you know, looked at Caleb like, guy's an alpha mentality, first day breaking it down. He was like, whoa, okay, this is the kind of leader that Caleb Williams is. And he said he's the real deal. So,
and it just shows, like, we're out there at practice. The energy is different. We don't get to watch the whole thing. There's just like an air of like competence, you know, like people, like you feel like, these people know what they're doing, you know, and you're bringing in guys that are like, what do I harp on for, like, hire people that are good at their jobs. Well, you've done that. You've hired people that are really good at their jobs. It started, you needed a new president. You need a new athletic director. And then they can hire good people below them. And that started with a football team. You hire Lincoln Riley. And now you're going to bring in a bunch of players that are like, all these transfers we're talking to seem amazing. It's like, wow, this is great. But then a Caleb Williams is, you know, a superstar in the making. He's going to be on Heisman watch list already for your, you know, starting off for Lincoln Riley there at USC. So it's just like this era, like you just feel like, okay, people are going to make a lot of right decisions, as opposed to before you're like, why are they doing that? Or I don't think they should be doing that. I don't know, Chris. I didn't get that feeling anymore. At least it's 1 week in, but that's
yeah. I mean, 1 week in, you could tell there was a little more hunger. There's a little more eagerness out there. Those are the kind of things that kind of Lincoln Riley sort of hit on. You know, I wish that we could have watched obviously a little bit more practice, but those individual drills, especially for me, for the defensive coaches, I've been watching more of the defense. You've been watching more of the offense because everyone's going over there,
right,
to wants to go watch number 13 throw on air drills, but I want to go watch the defense with no one else is around. And I'm watching those drills, and those defensive coaches are getting after it because they know they have to get after it because of what, you know, some of the guys, that defense from last year was just abysmal. And kind of that was something Alex Grinch hit on, is that, like, we have a lot of weaknesses right now. We have a long way to go. You know, we kind of hit on all those points that a defensive coordinator taking over a bad defense last year was going to say. You know, yeah, we got a lot of weaknesses. We see some flashes of ability, but needs to be more consistent. You see it from one guy, but you need it from all 11 guys and all 11 guys behind them. So long way to go. But I definitely like the energy from what we saw these first 2 days.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. You know, talking to the transfers were great. We got to talk to Austin Jones, you mentioned, from Stanford. Nicole talked to Travis Dye. Do you want to give a few thoughts on the Travis Dye one, Nicole? Or
yeah, definitely. So Travis Dye, he was great. I mean, we know the story of kind of why he came to USC, but he was talking about the same energy that these players have been talking about this entire week. The energy's high. They have a quarterback that they trust. And he really just honed in on this team is ready to take over and do something different.
Nice. He seems like a great kid, too. So there's they brought a lot of good people in. Was there anyone on the offense that stood out to you that you talked to?
Mario Williams seems to have a smile that's built for L.A. He's got that L.A. personality. He said, I'm glad to be here with my quarterback. He specified with my quarterback, you know, a guy, Caleb Williams, that they go back, you know, since their high school days, you know, when they were in the same class at Oklahoma. And then the other big interview was, you know, the Miller-Moss interview. Yeah. You know, obviously that was a guy we've talked to before that a lot of people wanted to kind of hear from, just, you know, with the quarterback situation, only being two QBs, Lincoln bringing in, you know, Caleb Williams. You know, we talked about how the culture building is going really, really well because Lincoln and the staff, they have a formula, you know, something that's proven. They've won with this formula. They know how to build culture with this formula. And his quote, it's not like throwing stuff against the wall and hoping it sticks. You know, this is a proven formula. That's why it makes it so easy to trust it and kind of go along with it. And then I asked him about, obviously, sort of maybe the elephant in the room of, you know, Lincoln Riley bringing in, you know, a guy like Caleb Williams. And he said, you know, Lincoln was really upfront with me from the beginning. You know, he called me, let me know what the situation was, what was going to go on. And that right there gave him a lot of confidence in Lincoln Riley. And it also made him more comfortable with the situation that was going to come forth, which would be Caleb committing. And when he did commit, you know, he was okay with it. He was all right with it. He was comfortable with it because Lincoln was upfront with him. And, you know, he kind of gave you the classic, you know, adage from football players. You want the best in that room with you to bring out the best in you. Competition only breeds that. So that's kind of where his head is at. And he's also looking a little bigger.
He looked a little bigger up top to me. Now, Caleb Williams has got his lower body. I think there's some power there. He can run really well.
He's a runner and a swimmer.
And
a swimmer.
But yeah, I thought Miller Moss has filled out a little bit. And I think this is a good situation. I know people are like, oh, is he going to transfer? Like everyone can't transfer. I mean, Miller Moss is going to have an opportunity to play. If there's something, obviously if something happens to Caleb Williams, but they're going to score a bunch of points. And I know we talked about, you know, when Graham Harrell came in, the talk was scoring 50 points and all that stuff. They wouldn't get out of 20s most of the time. So this is going to be a team that scores a bunch of points. You're going to see younger guys get to play. Like all these things that happen, they're like, oh, why haven't they been able to get these guys to play? Because they're not blowing out teams they should be blowing out.
Yeah, because they have a 3-point lead with 6 minutes to go.
Or they're down to Arizona in the last minute, the terrible Arizona team or whatever. This is going to be an opportunity. Like they're going to score points, right? They're going to score a bunch of points. The Colorados of the world, the Arizona's of the world, they're going to win those games decisively, in my opinion. And Miller Moss is going to come in and play. I mean, he might play a quarter and like not – he got a touchdown pass at the end of last season. But I think he's going to get some opportunities to play there and then sort of figure out what he wants to do, you know, going forward. I think they're going to probably have to hit the transfer portal to get another quarterback there. Optimistic that Moisan could come back by the fall. But I don't know.
Which is crazy.
It's a pretty aggressive timeline for an Achilles injury. But, yeah, we'll see. Shotgun, any thoughts on that before we move on to defense or any other offensive thoughts?
One of the things in the offense, and quarterbacks play into this too, but there's some depth issues. You know, Brandon Campbell is another 3-star former recruit from Texas that has hit the transfer portal. Ryan, you said they can't all transfer out. They potentially could. You know, this is the day and era of college athletics right now where an entire team could transfer out. I think we've actually seen that a couple times in different sports where an entire team has gone into the portal at one point. And maybe some guys came back or whatnot, but don't put it past. So Miller Moss is a huge piece for USC. They need to have him this year. Yeah. So, you know, the coaching staff needs to cater to him to make sure he does not transfer out after spring or anything, because it's going to be very difficult to bring in quality backups. You know, no one really wants to go in the transfer portal to go, you know what, I'm looking for a place to go back up. That's not what kids go into the transfer portal for. So kids are looking for opportunities and playing time. That's the most common thing. Sometimes it's homesickness and some other things like that. If someone's sick at home or some of those things do come up. But the number one thing is I want to play more. So, you know, finding a backup quarterback is going to be very difficult. Running back is very similar, very thin there, very talented. You know, they've got all transfers now as far as the scholarship guys are all transfers, but pretty thin there. And, you know, running backs are always going to get hurt. So you got to see, you know, you got to try to keep those guys as healthy as possible. Wide receiver is really deep, but there's still some question marks there. A lot of new guys as well. You know, the one position on the offensive side, and you mentioned that the offensive line is a little thin as well with some of the guys transferring out. But tight end is the one position where there is some depth. But, you know, that's not the primary position in this offense either. So that's one of the big concerns about the offense to me. I know you look at the schemes and you expect that Lincoln Riley's offense will put up points. However, USC could be in trouble if they get some injuries at one position or another.
I don't know, Shotgun. Being the third string quarterback for a Lincoln Riley team in Southern California, all I get to do is hang out and chill and be the backup, not really – and get a degree. Yeah. There's worse jobs.
But do you want the ultimate job of being a backup quarterback in the NFL where you stand around and get paid millions of dollars? You're not going to get that as the third string quarterback at USC. You know, you at least got to be the backup. You know, you got to be, have at least a little bit of tape like Matt Cassel, and you know how rare that situation actually was. So, yeah, it may be an attractive thing for someone who doesn't desire to play football in the future, but how many guys do you want to attract to your program that's not their end goal, is that I want to be better, I want to advance to the next level? You know, that if you want guys that can step in and actually play, it's going to be difficult to find quality backups at that one position with Caleb Williams already in the chute.
There was crazy musical chairs things going on with the quarterbacks pre-spring. We're going to see more of it post-spring. But a guy like Jaden Daniels from ASU enters later. He enters portal later. There's not really a spot. Like, all the chairs were the music stopped, and like there weren't any chairs left. He ends up going to LSU where you're competing with like three other guys. Like, so there's not like a ready-made situation. Obviously, Caleb Williams comes in. You play for your old coach. It's a ready-made. It's as ready-made as you could get. You know, we'll see. Like with Akeem Slovis, you know, going to Pitt, right, and Jackson Dart going to Ole Miss, and you know. There'll be competition and stuff at those places too. Is there going to be someone that's willing to come knowing that there's like a QB1 already and a good, you know, backup there? We'll see. But I think, you know, if anyone can get him, probably Lincoln Riley. He's like, I'd want to come in there.
Look, I'll be the third string. I'll do it.
Scholarship?
I'll do it. Yeah.
You want to get your master's?
Put me on Scully. Yeah. I don't care what the master's is. It looked nice in a diploma case or whatever.
Nice. Switching over to the defensive side, we got to talk to players and coaches on Thursday. I was on the SEC beat because I got to talk to the two guys from Auburn and Alabama. Nicole's pumping her fist because she's a proud Georgia grad who they won the championship, if you guys didn't know. But yeah, so Romello Height from Auburn, the defensive end, and then Shane Lee, the linebacker from Alabama, who's a freshman All-American. His story's interesting where, you know, he had a good run and then a couple years ago, had some injuries, wasn't starting anymore. You know, both those guys, you want them to, if you're, you know, on the bus, they're sitting in the front seat because you want them walking off the bus first. They go, holy crap, that's what their team looks like. You don't want it. Like, Romello Height just is jacked. I mean, both those guys, they have SEC bodies, right? And they know football down there. And I feel like they're both going to have, you know, big impacts. Shane Lee was very, kind of measured his words. He'd already spoken on Trojans Live, but I, you know, he's a leader too. Players have gravitated towards him. And Romello Height was his, you know, Southern just like, yes, sir. Like, he was super nice, but I asked him like about, you know, some of his, you know, what he brings to the table. And he's like, speed, you know, like he's a speed guy. He's a rusher. He's going to come off the edge and just get after the quarterback. Just talking to those two guys, I'm pretty optimistic. There are a couple new pieces that are added to the defense.
I'm pretty sure the term you're looking for is yoked.
They're yoked.
Yeah, yeah. And you just start saying yoked. Jacked, okay. Jacked is old news. You got to say yoked.
Yoked. Okay, sorry.
Or swole. I'm trying to get him hip.
I'm Gen X.
He made a smash the like button earlier. Yeah. Come on. You can teach him new tricks.
Sure.
He's keeping Ryan in the know. Shotgun.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Say swole.
Swole.
There, okay, maybe not like that. But Did Shane Lee's like muscle definition remind you of any other Maryland?
But by Fred Chris Trevino, maybe.
Yeah.
He has that swimmer's
wow
shoulders.
Yeah. I cannot say that I trained Shane Lee, but maybe in the off season we'll get together and get some swimming in.
I like it.
Those guys is bigger.
Height's bigger. Yeah. Like,
yeah, because he's from Georgia, not Maryland. But Ramella Height was a kid that, when I watched his film after he committed to USC, I was like, this could be a really interesting get for USC. And besides the physicality, he didn't really realize that he had the physicality he has shown in person. But he's a guy that can come off the edge. Now, he's got to take that next step in his game, which is getting to the quarterback, getting the quarterback on the ground. He got a lot of pressures his first couple seasons at Auburn in the limited time that he was in there, but it wasn't getting the sack. So he's got to take that next step. But I think that's an intriguing piece, especially if you line him up on the opposite side from Corey Foreman. There's just some different things they could do. The defensive line, the pass rush is pretty thin. But there's some talented guys there. So, if USC can stay healthy and, get those guys, attacking the quarterback and getting some situations, some third long situations, USC could cause a little bit of havoc with quarterbacks and, the ability to get to the passer.
Yeah. Any other defensive players stand out to you that you talked to, Chris?
I thought one interesting storyline that sort of revealed itself on Thursday was Latrell McCutchen, the Oklahoma transfer, sort of playing safety, and that's something I noticed when I was watching defensive guys, and I talked to him after, and I kind of brought that up. I was like, did you play a lot of safety at Oklahoma? Were you mainly a quarterback? He was like, no, I mainly play cornerback, but Coach Grinch and them, they like my versatility, like my ability to kind of play back there. And he looked a lot longer in range. This is my first time obviously seeing him, but he looked, I believe he's listed at like 6'1", but he looked a little bit longer than that, maybe like 6'2". Really long, really lanky, looked like he had really good ball skills. I was watching the ball skill drills. So that's an interesting person to kind of watch throughout this spring, because cornerbacks are a little thin right now if you look over there, because Damani Jackson, he's still kind of doing his rehab thing. Joshua Jackson, he's also doing his rehab thing. So that's two cornerbacks down. So they only really have, what, maybe like four guys over there? Yeah. And to not have move Latrell over there means they really kind of like looking at him at safety right now. So that's an interesting thing. So I kind of really like that move. Hopefully get Damani and Josh back to kind of fill out that depth. But that's an interesting thing to kind of watch as, they move forward.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting because of the talented young safeties they already have, with Xavier Alford, with Kalen Bullock, with some of those other guys from that safety class last year, to see if they were going to take a step forward, with Zamarian Gordon and Beavers and some of those guys. So I think that's really interesting to put Latrell McCutchen, because obviously the defensive staff knows him. They were at Oklahoma with him, so he's a guy that the staff is familiar with. So that puts a little bit more pressure on those other guys. Now, McCutchen, I believe, played a little bit of nickelback with Oklahoma last year, so that could be an option as well. And maybe they're just trying him out, moving around. It is spring. Let's not forget, none of these moves are definitely permanent, because it is just spring. You kind of try and see what you have there. But one guy on the defensive side, great to see back, Brandon Peely. Just seeing him be able to go through some of those drills, seems from the photos and clips that you guys were able to produce. Great to see him back after, the injury that he suffered last spring camp.
Speaking of another guy, Max Williams, he's also back. A guy who put in a lot of rehab work. And apparently, he's been playing pretty well. Talking to people, sources, someone said he had an amazing practice on Saturday. So great to see Max Williams. He kind of tweeted out that he's feeling great after the first week. So, look out for him kind of ascending. And looks like he's kind of holding on to that starter's job right now at the nickel spot. So he's a guy to watch when you fully see them play, in that spring game at the end of April. So apparently Max causing a buzz right now.
Yeah, and it's someone that, he came in and I don't know if the previous staff, it wasn't really like the size that they kind of wanted and all that. But he was one of those guys that you want to bring in because he's just – loved USC. He was just a ball player. He just goes out and makes a whole bunch of
local
plays.
Local guy.
Yeah, it's like, that's the kind of dude you want. And to see him, we got to see a lot of his rehab last year. And he just made so much progress. And you were wondering, like, man, could this guy come in and play? But seems like he's 100% now. And he's going to be someone definitely you want to check out in the spring game.
Playmaker.
Yeah.
And that's something, it's not that you want to get guys that, hey, they love USC and they're local and they're hardworking. You want guys that are playmakers, and that's what Max Williams is. You know, you saw him in high school, the ability to return punts. When he gets the ball in his hands, he makes things happen. So, you know, if he gets an interception or two this year, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them takes it, if he takes one of them back to the house with his playmaking ability.
I say this all the time. Max isn't the biggest. Max isn't the strongest. Max is not even the fastest, but he has arguably probably the highest football IQ of anyone on that team and that defense. That's why he's able to be in positions. He's also tough. You know, there was in that 2020 season, there was plays that were blowing up on Twitter, you know, of him going head to head with a blocker at 5'9", pushing these guys back to jam up the play. He's got the nose to find the football. You know, he doesn't have all those, you know, crazy attributes, but he's smart and he knows how to play football. And that's, you need guys like that. You know, speed is nice. All those attributes are nice, but if you can't put it all together, that's why it separates Max from, you know, guys that are maybe have a little more athleticism than him. You know, he knows what he's doing out there, and that's why he's, you know, a playmaker and will continue to make plays
for sure.
Well, he is the oldest brother of three D1 cornerbacks. So, you know, he's got the moxie of the older brother, the older brother's strength he has there, even though he comes in a smaller package.
Although literally he is the smallest of the brothers.
Yes.
Because Mason is bigger than him at Arizona State. And then Marcellus, who keeps growing every time I see him, he's looking like he's going to be 6'2" by the end of it. So Max is the oldest, but he is the smallest.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff there. Check out uscfootball.com. Tons of spring coverage. We've got a lot of photos. Nicole's been shooting some really nice videos. Chris has done some defensive videos too. Lots of interviews, tons of video interviews, tons of stories, lots of analysis. So a lot of stuff going up. The ghost notes are great. Make sure you check out. The fact that you only watch like 20 minutes, Chris gets a ton of notes out of whatever he sees out there. So if you're not a member, uscfootball.com, you can do it for $1 a month. Go in there and subscribe, and it's definitely be worth your while.
Very quickly, yeah. Shotgun, how heartbroken are you that they allow us to now move through the sidelines?
This is one of the reasons.
Trapped in the pen with that beautiful camera,
and now
you have to edit my crappy photos with my crappy lens.
This is true. It feels like that's a little bit of a compromise because, you know, the one thing more important than being able to roam around is being able to see competition periods. And that's what, you know, the media is not going to be able to see this year. Hopefully they expand it after the spring, but I'm not really getting my hopes up for that. But I think that it feels like that's a little bit of the compromise. Like, hey, you guys can go wherever you want, but we're going to kick you out after, you know, 20, 30 minutes. So provides a different perspective though, because now you guys can go and see, and when I come out for a couple of spring practices, we'll be able to go and see the defensive line a little bit closer up, see the linebacker drills a little bit closer up, see some of these things and hear some of the coaches a little bit more, which we got an interesting perspective last year when we were up on the pool deck, you know, some of the drills that were over in that area and being able to hear the offensive line coach and being able to hear. So I think it's going to add a different perspective for us getting to hear from some of these new coaches and how they are going about teaching the attention to detail, what they're trying to coach up, and, you know, what areas they're really emphasizing for returners that, you know, it seems like are a little bit behind. So those will all be very interesting things, and we'll only gather more and more information the more practices we see this spring.
For sure. You just set yourself up. You have to put on the greatest practice photo gallery you've ever done in your life when you come to practice.
Yeah.
I'm going to forget my camera on purpose.
Right.
With the USC also held the Pro Day. 15 former Trojan football players took part on Wednesday. Probably the most uneventful or one of the most uneventful Pro Days I've been to. I know you haven't been to a ton of them, Chris. Just without a Drake London who's going to do his own workout. Was it April 3rd or something?
5th.
April 5th. So he'll do his own workout. Probably, you know, he was down there.
He did show up.
Yeah. So that was like the highlight when he walked in, I think.
Wow.
We did get to hear from Isaiah Polamau, who didn't make any kind of declaration about going to the NFL, but just was no longer around the team. And we're just like, oh. And then we ask around, like, yeah, he's not with the team
anymore. Yeah, he just kind of showed up at Pro Day. It was like, I'm ready.
Yeah. So he was like, he was running out there. Drake Jackson, you got to see a little bit of him. He didn't run the 40.
Little hamstring, trying to, you know, be careful with it. Thinks he can run that 4.4, 4.5, which would, you know, make him a lot of money in that process. Probably looking at that right now before running is probably, you know, late first round, early second round kind of range for him right now.
Yeah. But anything stand up? Maybe we'll start with you, Shotgun, that you saw some of the times and stuff. It's just.
from the combine and from pro day, Izzy Taylor Stewart, eye-popping numbers. You know, now it didn't always translate to interceptions or deflections, but is there going to be someone who takes a chance on him, knowing the athleticism, knowing the speed that he has and the size that he has at the cornerback position? I think he's a really intriguing prospect and a guy that could go way earlier than people anticipate or not go at all in the draft and be a free agent signing. It just depends if one team falls in love with him, because he has just amazing statistics as far as the raw athleticism.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
The pro day news stuff, it was like, you know, you're hoping that these guys can get a chance. A guy like Izzy Taylor Stewart, that's some big numbers. Some of the guys won't have the numbers, but have better production. The Drake London thing will probably be the most interesting. So we'll see about that. All right, we don't need to talk more about pro day. We want to talk about recruiting a little bit. Josh Connerly, the 5-star offensive tackle from there in Washington. Down on an official visit to USC this weekend, and apparently went well. Brandon Huffman has an interview. We have the full interview up on uscfootball.com. Seemed like he had a good time. Get to hang out with Josh Henson, Lincoln Riley, talk to his position coaches, talk about what's going on there. The fact that USC is a real factor in his recruiting is huge. Just that 2022 class is not very big. Only 8 signees. There's 2 of them on campus right now, Damani Jackson and C.J. Williams. But, 6 more will be coming in the summer or over the summer. But getting a guy like Josh Connerly, any thoughts on the visit? I know we have a photo of, the whole, group, I guess, that was out there. And any thoughts on the visit and what it means in the recruiting class?
Chris. You knew this was the big one. Try to put that cherry on the top of that high school class with this 5-star offensive lineman. Obviously, a position USC fans have complained about for, it feels like, forever. Every commitment they get, the question is, can they play left tackle? I'll tell you what, Josh Connerly play left tackle.
He cannot. Yes, he can. Yeah.
And, you knew they were going to go hard at the end here. It's final visit. You get the last impression. You get that recency bias going into your decision. He will be committing on April 8th, so about a week from now on CBS Sports HQ. Make sure you check it out. Got to plug the eye. Always plug the eye. So you knew they were going to go out that picture, just basically everyone involved with the USC staff. They had a little baby in that photo. Like, everyone was recruiting, even the infants. So Shaka, no laugh. That baby was doing stuff. That baby was getting in there. So, they were making the effort, from what we can tell, great visit. I wasn't even worried that they, possibly were going to mess up that visit, but cause Lincoln Riley has shown his recruiting prowess. Josh Henson, he's landed big time offensive line recruits, so they know how to host a big man. So I think it went really well, and that's all I got for that. Shotgun.
That photo, and see how many people are in that photo, how many people are involved in recruiting him, but also how many people from the Connerly clan came down with Josh. It wasn't just him and his dad. It wasn't just, the parents. It was everyone in the family. They wanted to get a full sense. USC is definitely right there in the mix. And how this visit went will probably determine his decision that he makes. And you think that the way that USC rolled out the red carpet, the way that they, put out, did everything they could, knowing how big of a need this is, I don't know if these coaches know, but if they look through the rankings, I'm sure they do, that how long has it been since USC had that true elite offensive line recruit come in? Since the Austin Jackson, Elijah Vera Tucker class, when they brought in 5 guys,
5 years,
they have not brought in an elite guy. Now, Brett Nealon, it was in that class. You had Justin Dedich the next year, but they have not had that true offensive tackle five-star guy since Austin Jackson. And he was even more of a project coming out of high school because he was 265 pounds. Whereas Josh Connerly is a guy that will play him wherever he goes, will play as a freshman. How much he plays, that will be determined on, you know, the roster that's wherever he decides to go. But I think it just shows how much that the staff understands the importance of this recruit, and the fact that USC gets the last visit is another positive for USC. You know, they were already coming in and were in the mix before this staff even got here because, you know, he already liked USC. He took multiple unofficial visits flying down from the Seattle area to LA to watch a terrible 4-8 team last year. And now you have the new staff come in. I think it's, you know, USC is in a great position for Josh Connerly. I haven't got a chance to check out Brendan Huffman's update. If you're not, if you don't have Brendan Huffman on some kind of Josh Connerly alerts, then, you know, are you really a USC fan? That's a big question. But, you know, he's the one that's been on top of this recruitment the entire time. And we'll try to get some more info from Brendan this upcoming week before that April 8th decision. Great day, by the way. That's my birthday. But great, great day for him to choose to commit. We'll see if it's
a sign.
If it's a birthday present for the USC fans as well.
Shotgun, just looking at the photo, not including Connerly, how many people are in that photo, including the baby? It's like your jelly bean guess. Take the guess. How many jelly beans?
I don't have the photo up right now on my screen, but I think it's probably something like 28, 34, somewhere in there.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be my guess.
It's 28 with Connerly and the baby.
Nice. Pretty good.
So maybe 27 and a half. We're taking Connerly.
Yeah.
I think he counts for 1.5.
Okay.
He's at least 1.5 important for USC.
I was,
you know, obviously
counting the baby as a half, but
yeah.
I know, but Connerly is 1.5, so he makes up for that half.
Yeah, I got to see him up in Hawaii. He showed up there a little later. We got to see him just for one practice, but you know, good looking prospect for sure. Recruiting can be a lot about momentum. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and it's sort of like you're working hard now for, you know, it's like farming, basically. Like, you're planning now, but you're not going to eat, you know, those green beans tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, next season or whatever. And the fact that Lincoln Riley was able to come in and turn things around as quickly as he could, it was sort of like that Homer Simpson episode where he gets a farm and he puts, like, radioactive stuff out there and makes the tomatoes, like, they're addictive tomatoes that have the tobacco in them, too. But they were growing really fast because he, like, added this, like, radioactive material. That's sort of like you've added this radioactive material to recruiting class. And Lincoln Riley comes in to get, you know, a couple of five stars in the 2022 class, and then potentially adding a Connerly makes the 2022 class, like, way better than what we ever thought it could have been. It was down in the hundreds at one point, and now it'll be at a top 10 class if you add Connerly. But also what that does for the 2023 class, which is already off to a stellar start with 3 5-stars committed. You add this other five-star. I mean, running backs want to come play. I mean, everybody who doesn't want to have your, you know, franchise left tackle there for the next few years. So this is something I think if USC can land Connerly, obviously huge for this year, but just for the future too. They're already built a lot of recruiting momentum, and this would you know, take it to the next level.
So just a quick, like, numbers thing. If Connerly commits to USC, Lincoln, he will have been Riley's 6 5-star commitment since he came on. That's also factoring in Caleb Williams as a 5-star transfer prospect. So that's Malachi Nelson, Makai Lemon, Zachariah Branch, Josh Connerly, if he commits, Caleb Williams, and then Damani Jackson, who I guess if you want to – wait, is that – yeah, that's 6.
Yeah.
I did the math.
Correct. He counted on his fingers, but he didn't use his thumb.
Yeah, I went like this, and I was like, wait, did I lose my thumb? No, yes. It's 6.
Raelic Brown's not considered, like, he's
– he is a high 4-star.
Yeah, he was, like, a 5-star and 1.
Yeah, I don't think – I'm going to believe – I'm going off, like, consensus 5-star. Makai might not be a consensus 5-star, but we'll say 6.
Yeah.
So 6 in what?
100 days.
Yeah, 100 days, which is just insane.
Yeah. That was, like, over the last 6 years, there have probably been that many. So recruiting momentum's huge.
Yeah, Ryan, just like you pointed out, the momentum this would give them towards the 2023 class, because this is the time of year when you start seeing more and more of the upcoming class start to commit as well. You're seeing a lot of top fives, a lot of top tens, guys narrowing down their choices. And as they go to the summer, if they can take some official visits, you know, some of those decisions get made. So that just would give USC more momentum going forward if Josh Connerly were to commit. But USC pulling out all the stops, not only all the people that were there and all the things they did, but did you notice that they decided to put out a an offensive lineman themed video about how the offensive lineman history at USC. Interestingly timed on Friday when Josh Connerly would be coming in, that dropped as well. I thought that was interesting. You know, all the attention to details, and this is what is going to make this staff really, really good and can recruit at a really high level. And that six five stars that you talked about there, Chris, is the attention to detail. We've heard it from a lot of recruits that have visited for the junior days. We've heard it from local guys having seen what the previous staff did and what's going on now. Just the more people that are around, the more people to guide you to different directions, just those small things like that. The attention to detail is what really matters. It's what really catches people's eye. And I think it's interesting, USC pulling out all the stops for Josh Connerly. I think they're in a great spot after this visit. Got to do a little bit more digging, and we'll see in the next week or so if we can get some more information on where that one stands for you guys.
I know, Shotgun, you were at Under Armour event this weekend also. We're already like 10 minutes away from the top of the hour, but any kind of thoughts are there? You were in Maryland. I know it was
great
cold.
Great state of Maryland.
Usually not a lot of recruits there. Not a lot, like, not a lot of athletes come out of that
wait,
area.
Wait.
I'm just kidding.
So I went out to the event today, the Under Armour. We always go to the LA one. We went to that one earlier this year. So being out here on the East Coast now, trying to make it a coast-to-coast show here. But I went out to the Maryland one to check out. And there are some prospects that have USC offers and some guys that USC will be on. There was an eighth grader out there, defensive lineman, that looked great. I'm sure USC will be offering him before too long. But, you know, one of the guys that stood out was Aaron Childs, who's a 2024 linebacker who plans to visit USC this summer, is a guy that really likes USC. They're in the top schools right now. He won linebacker MVP, I believe it was today, as well. But he is a guy that I thought was really interesting. And, you know, I only talked to a couple of recruits that had USC offers and whatnot. But he brought up Caleb Williams being from the DMV. You know, that is going to, again, I talked about how he's a guy that everyone, you know, kind of wants to be around. He talked about seeing Caleb Williams come across the country and seeing the NIL deals that Caleb Williams has already popped for him. You know, that tells him what is possible for him if he does decide to leave the home area and go across the country. So I thought that was really interesting. There are a couple other, the defensive line class was really good out there. I thought it was better than the LA class. It was the best position group there. There was some offensive linemen as well. And we'll have some write-ups on it. Brian Doan, I was there chatting with him about some of the players as well. So he'll have some stuff on it if you guys want to check it out. Sadir Mitchell is a big body guy, 340, 350, true trench tank. But I talked to him. Doesn't sound like USC's in the mix right now, even though he did have a USC offer from the previous staff and had been talking to the current staff. But we'll see if some of the attention from USC staff picks up after they see the video from this event, because they will be able to check that out through the I think it was the UCE report that they do there. So all the coaches will be able to check out the video, and I'm sure there'll be some offers that come out in a couple of days from this event.
I'm sorry, Shotgun, you broke up. Caleb Williams out of the where?
I believe he went to he was in Washington, D.C. is where his high school was located.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah, I thought there was some sort of, you know, regional nickname that, you know, sort of strikes fear in the heart of everyone.
Yeah, it was called Freezing Cold. It was snow flurries there today, and I blame you, Chris. This all comes back to blaming you.
Shotgun can't take a little blizzard. Oh.
To cover a recruiting event.
It's supposed to be spring. It's supposed to be. It's a couple days from April, and there was snow flurries out there today. The wind was whipping at least 25 miles an hour. There was a gale winds warning going into the day, and it was I think the temperature when I arrived was 41 degrees, and I believe it went down from there. So the East Coast temperatures and weather is not for me. I'm not appreciating it. That's why you see I have multiple layers on right now, because I'm still trying to get warm from today. It took me at least 45 minutes in my car with the heat blasting full blast before my fingers stopped tingling. Right. So I don't appreciate it, Chris.
Come back for his birthday. He's like, I can't be cold for my birthday. Well,
we got one more topic before we jump into questions. We'll probably have to rapid fire because we're already getting to the top of the hour. But thanks to everyone that's been sending in the questions. We'll try to get to as many as we can. But shotgun, there's USC obviously bowed out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. March Madness. We were out there for the Pac-12 tournament. You know, it looked okay. We'll see. They had lost, three of their last four. Get beat by Miami, and it looks like if they got through Miami, they would have made a run. But there's been some adjustments to the roster since that game. If you want to give everyone like kind of update on what's going on with that,
yeah, Miami. You saw them make it all the way to Elite Eight, and unfortunately, they lost today to Kansas in a game that wasn't very close. After the first half, Kansas just obliterated them. But you saw there was a potential for USC to go on another run and be in the Elite Eight again, similar to last year when they played Gonzaga in the Elite Eight. That they had the potential to be there, but they did not play their best basketball down the stretch. And you looked at the roster and you go, okay, what's it going to look like next year? And we've already seen some of the key dominoes take place here. And that's two of the older guards in Max Agbonpolo and Ethan Anderson, both enter the transfer portal, as well as Boubacar Coulibaly, who is a very talented but very raw big. And he just wasn't going to get the opportunity next year with the two bigs that they have coming in, two five-star bigs that they have coming in, as well as Josh Morgan being back. So he decides to enter the transfer portal. So that opens up a little bit of space. So USC may go out and try to attack and get a point guard. There was some rumors about Boogie Ellis being going to enter the transfer portal, but I mentioned this in a thread on the board that I had heard he was going to be coming back. That's been confirmed since then. Boogie Ellis will be returning. Drew Peterson will likely be returning, though keep an eye. He may try to go through the NBA draft process and get some feedback. So if you see him enter the draft, don't fret and freak out for USC basketball fans. There's a good chance that he would return to USC still after that. The big question remaining with the roster is just what does Isaiah Mobley do? He could come back, and in the era of NIL, he's a guy that already had a couple of NIL deals this past year. Maybe it makes more sense for him to come back financially this year, maybe try to improve on a couple more things in his game because he just didn't finish the season really strong. I think he wore down a little bit at the end of the season. Next year with the two five-star bigs coming in, maybe that takes a little bit of the pressure off of him. He's, play a couple less minutes. And maybe he has a better year the next season and improves his draft stock, or maybe he decides it's time for him to go ahead and start his professional career. We'll see what he decides to do, but that's the one big piece still remaining. But now USC enters the transfer portal portion of the schedule, and that includes a couple of recent decommitments. Julian Phillips, five-star wing that USC was in the mix for, was in the final schools. He picked LSU. Obviously, LSU fired their head coach because of recruiting violations. So there's been a couple of guys at LSU, Missouri, a couple other places that have opened up their recruitments, and Julian Phillips is one USC's definitely in on. But also, USC will be looking for an older point guard potentially to come in. We'll see what happens over the next month or so as far as recruiting the transfer portal for USC basketball. But USC, some of the dominoes have already started to fall, and some people kind of, what's going on here? Two of these older guards. But it looked like the conversations, they had all their one-on-one meetings with players this week, and the conversation was, this is the amount of playing time we think you're going to be able to get next year. If you think you want more playing time, maybe it's best you go look somewhere else. And I think that's what kind of happened with those two older guards is, they couldn't guarantee them to be starters next year, that they're going to play a certain amount of minutes. So I think Ethan Anderson and Max Agbonpolo are going to look for opportunities where they will be, more than likely be definite starters and get, 25, 30 minutes a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's greatest USC basketball beat writer,
Sean
Bradley.
Yes, 100%. Okay, let's get to some questions. I'll try to run through these. We'll try to go quickly. Andrew Hogue had a couple questions. What's the biggest wow moment of spring so far, and which players really stood out? Well, we don't get to watch, so it's really – I think it's hard to answer either
one
of those.
I don't want to see wow, so I'll say Caleb Williams missing the entrance on the first day.
That was a wow moment.
That's sort of a wow moment in itself. So,
Chris, to be able to – to be able to locate that one, get that video up, and it became a little viral moment there. I think Romello Height, seeing the pictures of you guys seeing him up close in person, I think that's a little bit of a wow moment.
He's what?
He's big. He's yoked.
Yes, yoked. Yoked.
I know.
He's big.
I know. I was just like, I was going to try not to satisfy him on this one. Curtis Does Maximus Gibbs, in all caps, because he's a big man.
Big man needs all caps.
So. Have a chance to play. I hope so. He did move back to the offensive line.
He's listed at 390. He looks slimmer than that. He just looks slimmer to me. A year playing on the defensive line, you'll probably drop some weight.
Yeah.
He's back with this. Obviously, he got a whole winter workouts. He looks slimmer to me. He does not look 390 to me. That being said, there is a little bit of a depth issue right now, offensive line. So I think he's going to get some opportunity this spring. But in terms of long term for this season, I think he might be a year away.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised if he kind of stole some like blowout reps, stuff like that. But I think from like being impactful on the 2 deep, I think he's just like almost there, about a year away. But I think he's lost some weight, and I think that's obviously a great sign for his development, a guy with sky-high potential.
Yeah. If they have some kind of like jumbo package, like when Stanford would bring in the extra offensive lineman, maybe something like that. But I think it's tough when you move. Now he moved positions again, so that might be difficult. Manford, on Saturday Zoom call with Lincoln Riley, he talks about identifying leaders on the team, but even within that group, that a smaller group has emerged as alphas. Any idea who specifically he was talking about?
I mean, a guy we've already referred to as an alpha is, Caleb Williams. I'm sure he's part of that group. Shane Lee, Riley has just, and Brian Odom have, raved about his leadership and what he's done for this team and this defense, off the field as a leader. I've heard Max Williams, they value him as a leader too. So I think maybe he's potentially in that group. But those are just three names off the top. I'm sure someone maybe on the offensive line has also kind of stepped up too.
Yeah.
Earlier in the spring as a guy that had really taken a step forward as being a leader in that group. And as a younger guy, even though you got Voorhees and Elon, just a guy that really stepped forward and, matured as a player, maybe not necessarily as a leader for the team overall, but just, making his mark with that offensive line.
Yeah. AJ Johnson said, are there any notable differences in how practice was organized during the part you get to see? And was Keely allowed to stay and watch the whole thing? Yes, she is. The enemy is Keely. Remember she invited you on a podcast and then left? Do you remember that? Just trying to make sure you're fired up for this one. No, we love Keely.
You got to get me angry like in dodgeball. You got to get mean. is that what you're wrenching at me? Yeah. What are you doing here?
The stretching stuff looks pretty similar.
The team warm-ups are different. I've noticed they've broken them down with, like, on one side, it's all offensive players. You have the quarterbacks in the middle and then kind of the white jersey defensive players on one side. It seems a little more quicker, the warm-ups, a little more maybe efficient is the word, but lots of energy. They just break into individual drills, so it's kind of like the same team warm-up, individual drills.
Like quarterbacks throwing to receivers on air. Yeah. I mean, the coaches kind of get in the way sometimes and they'll play around a little bit, but from what we get to see, it's pretty similar. I mean, it's...
But again, we only see the beginning, so I don't really know how the rest of it looks. So,
but I talked to people that have watched, and I didn't get like there was like, oh my god, everyone's wearing like it's not like it's still football, practice, but I think some of the organization stuff is going to be different, but a lot of the stuff we get to see is pretty similar.
The part of practice the media is allowed to see is 98% exactly the same at every school in the nation. Your stretches might be a little tiny bit different. Where you go from there might be a little tiny bit different, but it's all basically the same until you actually get into the competition periods and the team periods.
Gerald and Jamie both want to know about Solomon Tuilaiopupu. Jamie said he's been an SC for what seems like 5 years, but has yet to play. Can you get an update on Tuilaiopupu?
Yeah, I mean, Solo is playing that rush edge position. I have watched kind of the rush edges practice a little bit over there with Roy Manning. Corey Foreman is injured at this point. We don't know exactly what that injury is, but he doesn't seem to be doing sort of the group rehab. But he is out, so that has sort of opened the door for Solo to get a lot more reps. I'm a big drill hierarchy guy. Shotgun's giggling over there because I've talked about this theory. And if you don't know what this theory is, it's like, look at who goes first in a position drill.
Yes.
That tells me a lot of what I need to know. It doesn't always work out, but if you kind of play it smart and kind of look. And Solo right now is behind Romello Height. So, and I've seen it a little bit in the pursuit drill that he did at the beginning of practice with the defense. And it seems like Solo has kind of locked on to that kind of backup edge rusher position at the moment. Obviously, Corey is out, so that probably bumps him down a little bit when he's back. But, you know, he seems to be full go, seems to be full health. You know, he's started both practices. He's come out in cleats in both practices, did the warm-ups like normal, and did individual team drills. You know, there's sometimes last year we would just watch those individual drills and not really participate. But it seems like, you know, he's getting the opportunity to compete this spring. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. We had to get to Megan's question. Question from Down Under.
Oh.
She says, hoping to get to a Trojans football game when I'm in L.A. in September, October. Who should I be keeping an eye out for and why? I don't know if it's, a player. But, Megan, hopefully you have a great trip out here. I love my spent a week or so in Australia. It was a great time down there.
You didn't even try to pronounce that last name.
No, I'm not. I try not to say the last names because, you know, I'm just we're first name people. But I guess they're putting it up on a public thing. But I was not going to say that one. If you're talking about which game to go to, USC has home games against Rice, Fresno State. That should be interesting. Arizona State and Washington State. Then there's some more in October. Let's see. I think that's it for, yeah. So those are the only ones in September or October. So that ASU game, I mean, who knows what's going to be going on there. And Washington State coming to town. It's not a great home slate, but you got some options there. But do you think she means an individual player to watch out for? Or?
If I had to guess player, you know, let's throw a running back out there. Let's go Travis Dye, just a dynamic guy with the ball in his hand. You know, everyone's going to say Caleb Williams, but, you know, I got Travis Dye as my potential starter for this year. You know, coming off a season where he led the Pac-12 in all-purpose yards. In this offense, he says is the best offense he's ever been a part of. I think that's a guy to watch out for.
So. Yeah, I like that. Jasper Smith had a question. If you could pick one 2023 running back to commit, which one would it be?
Oh, I mean, Cedric Baxter's a nice little guess. That's a national guy. You're going to have to work a little bit harder for him. I would say Roderick Robinson. You know, if they give him the green light, that's a big local guy, a big back that they need in that running back room. You know, he just visited this past weekend. So, you know, stacking up visits with USC. So I think that's an easy one. If you're USC and you give him the green light, it's like, come on, you're local. Let's go. Let's get in here. Start this running back class.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robinson's the name that stands out there. I mean, just seeing him from last year at the Under Armour event in LA to this year, the growth, you know, the weight that he's put on, the good weight, and still moving really well, you know, made some linebackers look really silly in the receiver, the running back versus linebacker receiver drills and stuff. So I think that he really stood out there. Now, I haven't seen him actually play in pads. And to be able to tell, you know, watch the tape and stuff. But he's a guy that stands out to me, especially because there just hasn't been a lot of local running backs that have really, you know, popped in the recent classes. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if he comes into USC and, you know, can continue the tradition of some of the great local running backs that USC has had.
He's big, so we would call him
yoked.
He's learning, folks.
Mark says, why are defensive linemen all wearing knee braces at practice now? Will they be wearing them during games too? And won't that reduce their mobility in a system that values mobility so highly?
Yeah, I picked up on that. I've forgotten to note it a couple times in my ghost notes because it's, you know, there's a lot going on. But I have noticed that it seems like a lot more braces are out there. I don't have a good answer for you. This is something I will surely ask a defensive player when I do get to talk to him this week. So it's definitely one of those like little questions like, hey, what's a little brace?
Yeah. We also like got a question about the padded helmets. Like there's some of those. And we had a like source kind of talking about that a little bit. They were going to find out some more. He had originally thought it was something with injuries, but it was kind of like position groups and stuff were wearing them. So
Shackle will probably like this. It also helps protect the QB if they accidentally come down on the helmet.
I like that.
That's yeah.
Instead of like breaking your hand.
The padded helmets and also the knee braces are probably just you don't want guys injured in practice. If you lose a little bit of mobility in practice, and hey, if you can make plays with a little bit less mobility in practice, then if in the game you decide to take those knee braces off, you're going to feel more fluid. You're going to be able to go. But if you're saving your guys in practice so that they're healthy in the games, that's the important part. And we've seen how high did the numbers get up to last year? Just guys on, you know, the rehab island or not dressed out for games. It got up to scholarship guys up around 30 last year at one point. So, you know, you want to be – you got to have – you know, if you're playing with 55 guys versus another team's 80 or 75 or whatever, you know, minus their injured guys, you know, they tell – it's a big difference. So, you know, having 85 healthy guys is a huge advantage for any college football team.
The best ability is availability. Is that what they say? Something like that?
That's correct.
Can't make the club in the tub.
No.
Also correct.
Jasper, one of our good friends on the show, says, considering Justin Dietrich can pull an 18-wheeler, how many pancake blocks should we expect of him this season?
I don't know what a good, like, standard pancake block number for a season is. It's not like picking sacks. Like, 13 sacks is, like, a really good season. I don't know what pancake – is it, like, 50?
I don't think – no, that would be a ton. Like, do you even get one
over
a game?
Over
– in college, you're not getting it that many.
Yeah, we're not seeing that many. Like,
in high school, lead offensive linemen can rack up 10 in a game, but you're not really seeing that at the college level. So if you get a couple a game, that's still pretty impressive.
We had some Grinch questions. Alex Grinch, defensive coordinator. DeRumble.
Real quick, Ryan, on Justin Dietrich, the first thing he's got to do is make the starting lineup, and that's not guaranteed. So the offensive line, there's still some question marks there of who the starting five will be and what will be their best five, and you know where Andrew Voorhees lines up could affect that, and where Jonah Monheim as well lines up could affect that. So Justin Dietrich's got to earn that starting spot first, though.
Yeah. DeRumble said, and we've got a lot of like kind of Grinch comments and questions, Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, is this a, quote, prove-it year for Grinch? Oklahoma didn't stop many offenses last year. And I get, you know, I don't know. I'm higher on Alex Grinch, I think, than maybe most people, but just see what he did at Washington State. I thought he did a good job at Ohio State. You know, it's tough when your offense is scoring 50 points a game for the defenses to do well, but I think USC's got a lot of holes to fill on the defensive side of the ball. But you know, if you're talking about USC's defense last year, there was some talent there for sure, and they were what, last in the Pac-12 in points allowed. I mean, that's pretty terrible. So I think it's definitely going to be an improvement, but it might take a year or two for him to get the roster like where they want it. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I do not think it's a prove it year, because he is taking over a defense that has a worse roster than what Todd Orlando took over 2 years ago. Remember when Todd Orlando took over, and granted, USC's 2020 defense was pretty good. They had five stars at every level. You know, you had defensive line, linebackers, and, you know, in the secondary. Whereas the roster he took over, now it's been overhauled already and will continue to be overhauled. And the expectations may change by the time we get to the first game and that first kickoff. But right now, I think it's still not necessarily prove it, because, like Ryan said, there are definitely some holes. And when Ryan said that he's higher on Grinch than anybody, I was like, Ryan, you're going back to his Washington State days, aren't you? Ryan is still holding on to those as the podcast of champions host. But that was a little while ago. So he does definitely need to prove himself. His Oklahoma defense were okay at times, but for him to be considered an elite defensive coordinator, there's going to be a prove it point, but I don't think it's this year.
Yeah. Hercules Mata'afa. Remember that? He drove
USC crazy. Destroyed USC. But also USC lost three offensive linemen in that game. Yeah. And then lost, and Liam Jimmins took out someone. Yeah, that was what happened.
DeRumble also want to know, does Thule and Corey play the same spot?
I mean, I feel like there are a lot of interchangeable positions there. But I would say Corey is playing kind of a rush end position, which is sort of similar to that B-backer position, I believe. To last year's defense. He's traditionally a defensive end, which is sort of the Nick Figueroa spot. Thule kind of plays that defensive tackle, that other outside guy.
He's like a three technique.
Yeah, with the nose guard in the middle.
Yeah, so a little different spots. Check the contract now. On the subject of Sam Baker, and this is so Chris can talk about this, his story, and others behind the NIL initiative for Trojan linemen, how much of an impact will this have on recruiting in the trenches? And DeRumble also want to know about Connerly. Is he waiting on NIL deals? But yeah, Chris, maybe you want to talk about your story real quick, because that was a really interesting one.
Yeah, if you didn't read it, you know, Sam Baker, former USC offensive lineman, All-American offensive lineman, and a group of other players are sort of starting this initiative specifically for Trojan offensive or defensive and offensive linemen, sort of a luncheon where, you know, they will have USC linemen come and they can interact with fans, you know, autographs, pictures, that kind of deal. You know, Baker said, you know, this wasn't the intention of being like sort of a de facto recruiting tool. You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to get him this way or whatever. It's more like he wanted to do this and the other guys wanted to do this to help the players there now. They wanted to, you know, get them in on this NIL stuff and, you know, help, quote, you know, he said, enrich their experience in college. But obviously, this is NIL, sort of a wild, wild west out here with the recruiting. So absolutely, it can be used as a recruiting tool. You know, we have this thing, you know, if you're a top offensive lineman, defensive lineman, it's like, hey, we have something in place where you can, you know, get in on the NIL stuff. So that's just another, like, recruiting weapon or recruiting tool for Lincoln Riley and these guys when they're recruiting those big guys in the trenches to have something annual and consistent like that year in and year out. So absolutely, it you know, that should be a big focal point moving forward for top guys.
Cool.
It didn't seem like it was going to be necessarily the Texas, hey, every offensive lineman gets $50,000 type of NIL deal, but something that one will actually, you know, that I thought was interesting that Sam Baker said in that story. Chris, good job on the scoop there, breaking the news of this NIL deal. But that the former players will get to meet and interact with some of the current players a little bit more. So I think anytime you can bring your alumni players in, involved, be more involved, I think that's only a positive for the program going forward. And real quick on Connerly, is he waiting on the NIL? No, that's not why he has waited this long to make his decision. He did not get a chance to go on official visits. He plays basketball as well. So he wanted to wait until he got an opportunity. So he didn't sign in the February period, waited till there was an open period, a recruiting period once again, and opened back up in March. And that's why he's taking some of these official visits, USC being the last one. Now it'll take a little bit of time. The family will figure out what's the best destination for him and then make that decision on April 8th.
All right. We'll try to fly through these last few and get out of here. Ganja Gorilla, is this Kyle Ford's breakout year?
Yes.
What do you think?
Ganja Gorilla, what a name.
That's a great name, by the way.
Kyle Ford also
yoked.
Right, there we go.
Shoddy, is he going to break out?
I don't think so. I think the wide receiver group that's coming in, he's got a lot to prove. Now, you guys have seen him move around a little bit more than I have, but I'm still hesitant to say that.
He's my dude. We'll see. Okay, Jarrett, who looked physically different from the last time you saw them?
Is that our intern?
That is.
I didn't even realize it's just an plant right now. Just Jarrett, throwing questions.
We didn't ask him to like send in questions. Like, we got plenty of questions, but thanks, Jarrett, for that.
We're talking about Miller Moss. You know,
Miller Moss
bigger up top. I talked about Max Gibbs. Looks like he slimmed down a little bit. Chuli looks the same. Chuli's looks like a beast since he's been there.
Yeah. From the photo shotgun, anyone you saw, you're like, oh, he looks different.
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I'm still stuck on just seeing Romello height in my eyes. So he stands out much more. But none of the returning players, I didn't notice a huge difference in anyone.
Jasper, where Rajon Davis finally gets some playing time at linebacker.
Drill hierarchy right now kind of remains to be seen. Looks like he's sort of on that third unit for, you know, drills with the linebackers when I watch. So seems like he's got some work to do. Brian Odom said he has some maturing to do, you know, to learn how to be a high level Division I athlete. And he said, you know, that's my job to get him there. So seems like, you know, still got some work to do to kind of move up that depth chart.
Yeah. Super OC Holmes. When will we see the next wave of portal activity? And Gary Lewis also, could USC add new inbound transfer players as early as May? Yeah, I think after this semester is when you're going to start seeing a lot more of this. After spring football, we should see a lot of activity. Ganja Gorilla is back with
Real quick, Ryan, you're already seeing guys entering the portal right now. So you could see USC pick up some guys in commitment, but they won't necessarily come into the program until, you know, the semester ends and it's the summer semester start.
Yeah, like I think Jaden Daniels was like the latest one that I saw that was like a big name player that actually got into the spring. And I think LSU's on like quarters, so it helped that a little bit. But for the most part, I mean, that's all been done. I mean, Caleb Williams waited until the last minute and then like a little bit passed and then But
you'll see more guys entering the transfer portal because some schools are finishing up their spring camp. Some schools like USC are just starting. So as those spring camps end, you see more and more guys saying, okay, this new coaching staff, this new position coach, or hey, the depth chart is just not in my favor. I'm going to look elsewhere.
Yeah, but once the semester's over, like in May, I think you're going to start seeing a lot. So Ganja Gorilla again. 2023 is shaping up to have number one. Is USC shaping up to have the number one recruiting class in the nation? Sure. Like,
I give a thumbs up.
Yeah, I think that's a potential. That's a possibility for sure. Trey Kranger, how many years has it been since we've had an actual spring game?
That's for you.
It's been a while, and we'll see what this one is. Like, they call it the spring showcase because they know it wasn't really a game. They used to do the Trojan Huddle, which was great. They had like in and out trucks out there, and you go check it out. But we'll see if this is going to be like an actual kind of game. DEGG, why is USA recruiting so many receivers? Could this be a bad thing? Maybe they'll end up transferring, or are they being recruited as athletes? I mean, USC needs receivers. They need a lot of bodies on offense.
And Lincoln Riley said they plan on playing 8-9.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've heard that before, but this is Lincoln Riley. This is his offense. So you're going to have to trust that that's the case. They're going to use 8-9 receivers a game. So you need those weapons. And, yeah, USC has not recruited receiver that well over the last couple cycles. So they need to replenish that that skill position.
Yeah.
And if you have 8 or 9 that you're playing per game, you got another 3 or 4 that are probably injured as well at some point. So, you know, you got 12, you need 12 to 15 guys probably to feel like you're comfortable there at a position where you could have 4 guys on the field at a time.
We had Mark go question. Also, speaking of Keeley, Ryan, were you offended at all that she picked Antonio Morales over you to be the guest reporter on her first Trojans Live? I've been on Trojans Live before. No, and Keeley was from what I was told, Keeley was a replacement because there was some kind of conflict. And then Antonio took what Keeley's role was. But no, I'm not offended. That would be a weird one for her to interview me the first time. Like, that's probably not going to be.
Antonio was on a Trojans Live?
He came on. Yeah, they had him on a phone call thing later on. So, talk to Antonio. We might try to get some guest reporters on here, too. Get some of the other people on the beat to come in.
I threw it out there.
Yeah, and I think it would be fun to get some of those guys on there. And we'll get Keeley back on for sure. You know, it'll be weird to have her on as guest, but it'll be fun. You know, get
she's too high up now. She's not coming down to lowly uscfootball.com for any.
She's gonna come down. Blaze, does the team still do Oklahoma drills?
No, the NCAA outlawed them.
Yeah,
I don't believe
you're allowed to do that anymore. So
that's about 5 years ago, maybe now.
Yeah,
the true Oklahoma drills.
So Jamie said you didn't really answer my question. What's his clock look like?
He's talking about Solomon Tulialapupu here.
Biological clock?
Like, I was like, I'm not sure what. Yeah, Jamie, like, I don't know.
His NCAA eligibility clock. Once you start pre-COVID, once you start as a student athlete, you have 5 years to complete 4 years of playing time. So that's why you can have a redshirt senior. You can play. You can be at a school for 5 years. Now you have 6 years with the extra COVID year that everyone has. So he is a fifth year player this year. This is his fifth year at USC. So it would be great to see him as a fifth year guy finally get on the field and be able to contribute. So we're hoping for that for him, with knowing all the hard work that he's put in. But he still would have another year of eligibility, and then. Then you would get into the gray area of could he petition for an NCAA medical extra year. So that could be a potential where he gets a seventh year. There are a couple players that have been seventh year players this season.
And then last one, Tyrese. How do our chances currently look at landing Mateo Ungalele?
Pretty good. I mean, I would say USC has moved up significantly for Mateo. You know, they were recruiting him, you know, under Helton, and that never really seemed like it was going to be, you know, really in it for them, just because, you know, looking at Clemson or USC, what have you, could not recruit local big time guys like that consistently. So never felt like, you know, they were really a serious option. But now under Lincoln Riley, it really feels like Mateo is really looking hard at them. I feel like he's been on campus like 9 million times since Lincoln's come on. So he's been on campus a lot. I'm sure he'll be on campus a couple more times throughout this spring and summer. So I would say they look pretty good, you know, just given his music passions and, you know, what USC can offer there. You know, I think they're in a good spot right now.
Yeah. Under the radar aspect is that he is a music producer, and he takes it as a, you know, this is a legit avenue for him after football ends, or even during his football career. So with what USC can provide with the Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre school, I think that gives USC a leg up. Local school. His dad obviously would love for him to go there, Big Dave. But it'll eventually come down to Mateo's decision, and you know, we'll see where he ends up landing. But USC's definitely in the mix. When like Chris said previously, the previous staff, he was on. They were definitely on the outside looking in.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up.
Ryan, one last question we got here at the end, and we had earlier a little bit as well. But SC Neil wanted to know a question for Nicole. Who wins more games next year, Georgia or USC? Putting her on the spot.
Oh, wow. That's really putting me on the spot. You know, USC fan and a Georgia fan, but I got to go with my dogs on this one. That's where the loyalty lies. But I would love to see USC and Georgia face off in the college football playoffs. That'd be awesome. So. Yeah, but I got to go dogs.
Yeah, I mean.
Home and home. Let's get a game between the hedges with USC. I don't know if it's ever even happened that USC has played at Georgia, but that would be awesome to see those two teams home and home series.
That would be that would be great. Yeah, you got to go. I mean, they won the national championship. Like, they got a lot of dudes. So, yeah.
While USC's trying to fill a lot of holes.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I think the safe bet is that Georgia's going to win more games. But, you know, who knows? It's the Pac-12 is way easier than the SEC. So, like, you take one step back in the SEC and you could lose four or five games. But
Let's not put that the SEC East is that great, though.
True. That's true. Okay. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up. Definitely want to – so just to let everyone know, this will probably be what our format is. We're going to get Nicole involved more, and we'll get a couple more cameras set up, and we'll get the live questions and things go on. We'll do the live calls again and all of that. So I think that'll be kind of a fun aspect to this, and seemed to work pretty smoothly with Shotgun remotely. I think the audio has been good. So we'll build on this going forward, and we've got to get a new intro and all that too. So we'll do all that kind of stuff. But I do want to thank Shotgun for joining us remotely, Nicole for coming in. Great job running the board for the very first time. So she controlled all the camera angles and everything. So nice job with that. Chris, always scared to be here, but he was good. So, like, give him heart palpitations just when I mentioned that we're going to do a live show. I was coming in from Temecula. They were hoping I wasn't going to come back in time, but
I'm only here so I can plug my podcast, Composite Two Star Recruits. We're filming a new episode this week. Gerard will be on. We're going to talk about Josh Connerly. So, listen, be on the lookout. I'm only here to plug.
Wait, Chris, are you filming it?
No.
You said you're filming it. So now you're on the spot. You got to film
me socking you if you ever cut me off again like that. How about that?
Mark Watkins said, thanks for the awesome show, guys. We appreciate it, Mark. He also said, I know you probably hated every minute of it, but you did a good job, Chris.
Yeah.
Someone called me Chris. Charisma Trevino in the thing, and that's my new nickname. So everyone.
Didn't like your headband. Didn't like that.
I don't care.
I mean, that's like, yeah. I like the headband. You rocked it during Instant Analysis, too, I think.
Look, I'm here to work. I'm here to get sweaty, so I need
He's prepared.
But yeah, good job. Like, great job, Nicole. The great run the board the first time. We got some insights from her. But Chris, man, super comfortable on camera. Like, his podcast is better.
Making it worse. Just stop.
Just raise it. So now expectations have to be higher for Chris. So when he comes, he has to, like,
I just wanted to do the plug. We're out. Nicole, cut it. Just cut it right now. It's done.
Check out all the podcasts, too. Shotgun's doing the Herd on the Sidelines. I'll have Harvey Hyde on this week. Chris Trevino and I will do a podcast this week. Podcast of Champions, they mentioned. We'll do the Pac-12 one. So a lot of podcasts. We'll keep trying to do these tunnel visions as well. So, and thanks for everyone joining in live. Hit the like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. But for Shotgun, Nicole, Chris, I am Ryan. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tunnel Vision, and we will talk to you next time.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.